Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Lilydale Radio. I'm Colleen van der Zijden, and the name of the show is called Embracing Your Essence. I hope you've been having a great day. It's very nice where I am, for the most part. We're actually a lot of fog happening now, and there's a lighthouse down the way, and it keeps sounding its horn quite frequently. And so it's kind of cool to listen to. And so here we are with Lilydale Radio tonight. And what we're going to be doing is we have a topic to talk about, and it's called The Adventure of Life. But we'll also talk about some other things first before we get to that. Hi, Michelle. Thank you for watching. So I'm a registered medium at Lilydale Assembly. Hi, Barbara. I'm also a certified life coach, and as a medium, as you know, we connect in with our loved ones on the other side, and as a life coach, I help people take action to create the life they want to have. I help people look at their problems, their issues from a different perspective so that they can move forward with their lives. I also help people who are stuck trying to create a project of some sort and things aren't working, so we may come up with some action steps to help them keep going. How Michelle is saying it's freezing rain in Toronto. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I saw the weather up in New York. Lilydale is lots of rain and very cold. I'm in Florida. I'm practicing being a snowbird, and so far, so good. I'm enjoying that, being able to see the sun every now and then. So what we'll do today, I want to talk first, before we get going, about the Lilydale pre-season. I looked up exactly what was happening so I could actually give you facts rather than just hoping I would remember things. So we have I don't even know how many, 9 pre-season weekends at Lilydale this year. 9, can you believe it? This is awesome, it's so exciting. Hi Diana, thank you for watching. So we have, the first one is Lisa Williams, and if you don't know Lisa, she's a medium. She's been working as a medium for a long time. She's from England and California, now lives in Lilydale. She's had TV shows, she has books out. You probably do know Lisa, but she's teaching the first one called Mastering the Message, and this is the weekend of March 22nd through the 24th. Most of these weekends they start Friday night. And there'll be a workshop of some sort Friday night, then something on Saturday, and then maybe something Sunday morning. So these are complete weekends that you can come and learn and get all sorts of stuff. As I understand it, they are going to have some, there's going to be maybe a restaurant open. I'm not sure about that, but we'll see. They're supposed to be working it out so that people have places to stay and all of that. So it's kind of nice. The next one, now that was, again, I'll tell you, March 22nd with Lisa Williams. Then we have April 5th through 7th, which is Exploring Spirit Art with Susan Barnes. So this is Susan Barnes doing art, April 5th through 7th. So if you've ever wanted to bring through spirit, through art, to draw spirit, this is a workshop you could take. The next one is called The Healer, The Healing, and The Healee. And this is Barbara Sanson and Chuck Forgette, April 12th and 13th. April 12th and 13th, healing with Barbara Sanson and Chuck Forgette. Now, Barbara's an amazing healer, and she's been doing this for years. She's in charge of the Healing Temple, and so this will be a fun, all-encompassing weekend, I'm sure. Then we have Judith Rochester, April 26th through the 28th, which is called In Service of God and Spirit. And anything that Judith Rochester teaches, you should take. She's amazing. And I'm sure this has stuff to do with spirituality and mediumship. I didn't read all of the definitions and descriptions of the workshops, but that's what's going on, April 26th through the 28th, Judith Rochester. Then we have Activating Your Angelic Gateway with Ellen Bourne. And that is May 3rd through the 5th. And Ellen used to be the president of Lilydale Assembly. She lives in Buffalo, and she is a medium, and she also does astrology. So she's going to be doing a workshop on Angelic Gateway, May 3rd through the 5th. Then we have Honoring the Art of Platform Mediumship with Joe Scheel and Cynthia Rose, May 18th and 19th. That's a Saturday, Sunday. So 18th, 19th. Platform Mediumship with Joe Scheel and Cynthia Rose. Dr. Stan Kent is doing Heaven is Unfolding on Earth. And that, oh my goodness, I didn't write down the date. Well, we know it's after May 18th and 19th because that's the only one I didn't write the date down. So whatever the following week is, somebody figure that out. Then I'm teaching a workshop May 31st to June 2nd, and it's a healing immersion weekend. And Friday night I'll be doing the basics of healing, Saturday amplification of healing techniques, and Sunday morning I'm going to be doing some color and sound healing. That will be fun. Then we have the final one, which is June 8th, which is Reiki 1 with Teresa Schaefer. So we have all of these workshops happening at Lilydale. If you go to lilydaleassembly.org, right there on the homepage, you'll see a button you can press, and you can see everything, get all the descriptions, you can get the bios of everything, and get the dates for whatever I left out there. So that's all there for you. So if you're interested in taking any workshops before the season starts, you have some great opportunities here. So tonight, what we are going to do, we are going to talk about the adventure of life. And if you haven't watched before, what normally happens is I talk for a little bit, 25 minutes even, you know, depending how I get going, and then we take some callers. And I'll do callers for a few reasons. One, you can call in and get a brief mediumship reading, and a mediumship reading is connecting with somebody on the other side. Then we will. You can also call in if you want to have questions. Let me try that sentence again. That was really badly done. You can call in if you have questions about spirituality, mediumship, healing, coaching, whatever you want to talk about, basically. If you have questions, you want to make comments, that's all great. You can call in and talk about the topic of the day, which, again, is the adventure of life. And you can also call in if you have a problem, a specific problem, and you're looking for some suggestions, spiritual coaching in a way, you know, some way to look at a problem from a different angle. So those are the reasons why you can call in, and this is the number to call, 818-739-8818. So you can call in, and I'll see your name, your number, not your name, your number will pop up on my screen, and then I will connect with you. But first, I'm going to talk, because that's what I always do. So the adventure of life. I was thinking about this the other day, because here we are in this physical existence, here in this world, and isn't it a wonderful thing that we have this opportunity to do this? And this is a place where we can create the life we want to have. We can be who we want. We can do what we want. We get to choose how we live. It can be quite an adventure at times. Every morning is a new day. Every minute's a new minute. We get to choose how we experience our day. We have new situations, events, everything. And then I started thinking, how come we're not all excited about this? We get up in the morning and we're not thinking, yes, this is going to be a great day. I can hardly wait. You know, we don't do this. Many of us don't do this automatically. I'm sure there are some people who do. But many of us do not jump up in the morning and go, yes, this is a great day. It's so exciting. This is going to be wonderful. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful day. But it doesn't work that way. And what is it that is getting in our way? We may have some leftovers from the day before. You know, maybe we had a problem and we worried about it all night long. We might have a pain of some sort, some kind of emotional issue that's blocking us from waking up and feeling, oh, this is wonderful. There could be fear. We could have the fear of pain. We might be afraid to be criticized. You know, we might have a problem with people. We're afraid to be vulnerable and look like we don't know what we're doing. We don't want to look bad to other people. So what happens is when we have all these issues that pop up, and we all have some things, we start to resist life, and we start to resist our more challenging circumstances. These things happen. Life situations happen, but what we do, so many of us, not all of us, of course, but so many of us, we close ourselves off. We shut down. We start to protect ourselves. And we protect ourselves in different ways. We suppress our words. We suppress our truth. We start to become helpless and hopeless, and that we get stuck in habitual reactions. We start living without consciously thinking. And I think that's really why we don't wake up every morning and go, yes, I can hardly wait. This is going to be a great day. We're so used to just living, going through life, that we're not paying attention. We're not aware of what's happening around us. We're not aware of what we have and what a blessing it is to be here, to experience all that life has to offer. Rebecca's saying she does now wake up excited to be here. Took a while to get there, 40 plus years. Yes, Great, Rebecca. That's awesome. Because that's the way to live. And I don't always wake up in a great mood myself. You know, I'll wake up in the morning like, oh, I think I need more sleep, you know. But once I get going, I'm usually fine. We get stuck in those habits of just living without awareness, without understanding what's around us. We start to live our lives in fear. And when we do this, we're limiting ourselves. We're not enjoying life, of course. We only have so much time here. So we should make the most of this adventure while we had it. We've all experienced loss. We've all lost people. We've all experienced other losses as well, jobs, relationships, etc. We've experienced these things. But we shouldn't allow them to stop us from living our lives as much as possible. We shouldn't allow these fears and these limited thinkings and stuff like that to get in our way of our appreciation for what we have. I've had some mediumship clients in the past who had closed themselves off. I'll take a pause for a moment. Mark is saying, doesn't fear attract negative energy? It does, because when we have fear, what's happening is we start to focus on whatever is wrong, whatever we're upset about, whatever we're worried about. And I did read today, and this was very interesting to me, and I did not verify this, so I don't know if it's true. It was something along the lines of every day we have a ridiculous number of negative thoughts, something like 50,000 or more. It was a huge number of negative thoughts that we have every single day, and they just pop into our heads. And so before we know it, we get one thought that leads to another, that leads to another. So we may have a fear-based thought that just keeps attracting more and more. And we follow this meandering path. And before you know it, you were in a great mood and you're not, and you don't even know how you got there. And it's because your mind just took off. Now I'm going to have to check that, the statistics of that. And it may even been higher. It might have been 75,000. It was ridiculous because I remember looking at it going, is this really true? But it was in a book, and it was in a reputable book with a person I trust as the author. So it probably is true, but it was a huge number of negative thoughts. So we have to be kind of aware, of course, of our thoughts and what's happening there and figure out a way in advance so that we can step out of those, maybe have a plan so that we can get out of that. And that's what I help a lot of people do. I do it here. I do it in coaching. You know, I'm doing it in the course I'm now creating. That's what I'm helping people do. Now, talking about those mediumship clients, and I took a little diversion there, I had some people who had totally closed themselves off. It was as though they had a wall in front of them. Now, if you've ever done readings yourself, if you're a medium yourself, if the person sitting in front of you has an emotional block, a big wall in front of them, they're very hard to read. It's very hard to get into the energy so that their spirits can come through. But as I would talk to these people, the more I would talk to them, the more I'd find they weren't open to life either. They weren't open to anything. They weren't open to allowing their life to change. They weren't open to receiving love or giving love. They weren't open to thinking their lives would improve. They didn't recognize their responsibility in how they're experiencing life. And when they come, some of these people will come for a reading. People come for a reading for all sorts of different reasons, of course. But usually people want to make some kind of connection to a spirit on the other side. But also people want healing. They want to know everything's going to be okay. They want to know there is another side. They want to know that life is going to continue. They're looking for some form of reassurance. And these people who would come in, their spirit might come in, but they didn't really want to talk to them. They would be, oh, I don't know, you know, a lot of that. And it might be that it was just too painful, because if we're not ready to communicate with our people on the other side, then we may, or if we're scared, we don't know what's going to happen. And I do a lot of first-timers for readings, and I always say, great, we're going to have so much fun. And they look at me like that's strange, but you can have fun while you're doing the reading. But if people are scared, they'll put up a wall as well. So then they're not as open to allowing their spirits to come in. So I always tell people, just stay open, just stay open. And at the very least, we're going to have an interesting experience. You know, it doesn't mean anything. We're just going to have an interesting experience. So they can kind of release some of that self-pressure. You know, what if they do it wrong? You can't do it wrong. What if they this? What if they that? And it's okay. All we have to do is work together to bring our energies there. So these people, because they're shut down, if their spirit comes in, they may not even recognize who the person is. It's not always the person you think it's going to be, but they may not recognize the person because they have put that block up. And sometimes they just don't want to feel the emotions that would go with it. You know, the emotions can be too intense for them. We think about, you know, when you think about experiencing crying, sadness, things like that in front of people, many of us don't want to do that. We will do anything in our power not to cry in front of somebody or get upset. And I'm always telling my clients, it's okay. People cry in here all the time. Sometimes I'll join them. You know, I try not to, and I tell the spirits, don't do that to me. But sometimes it does get very touching, and we have to release some of that emotion. So people who are scared about showing that emotion, they will shut themselves down as well because they're afraid they won't be able to control themselves. You know, what if the emotion goes on and they can't turn it off? Or maybe they think it's safer to be shut down. If you're shut down and you're protecting yourself, no one can hurt you. You won't feel anything because you've shut down. Some people shut down by being happy all the time, and they don't want others to know they're struggling with something. And I know for a fact that years ago, that was me. I had no awareness that I wasn't really happy, but I was always smiling and all the time. And people always thought I was happy, but I really wasn't. There was something inside that wasn't quite right. And it took me some time before I figured out what was going on. And when that happens, when somebody is very happy all the time, and after a while you start to wonder, come on, is that real? They shut down their integrity of being real, being who they truly are. Fortunately, I woke up, so now I am actually really happy, probably in most authentically happy I've ever been in my life, because I recognize the power I have to change my life and how I can help other people, and that's what I love to do. These people who shut down because of fear or pain or fear of the emotions, they're afraid of what might happen. The problem with shutting down is they're also shutting down their good emotions. They're shutting down their personal power. They're shutting down their ability to change how life works. They're not open to other people. They're not experiencing life fully and completely, which is what we're here for. That's why life should be an adventure. We're supposed to be having a good time. Of course, life goes in cycles. We will have those losses. We are going to be up. We're going to be down. We're going to be happy. We're going to be sad. It's the way it is. But when we have pain, it can lead us to something. When we have fear of a pain, that can lead us someplace else. Being open means you're open to experiencing the negative emotions as well. It means you're open to recognizing that this pain of these negative emotions, I shouldn't even call them negative emotions. There must be another word. I'll have to think of one. These help us come into new awarenesses, new perspectives. Rather than block it, we put it out there. We express the pain and the emotions. Now I'll take a pause because I see somebody's asked a question. How do you keep your chakras open for spirit? How do you know you're closed? Ooh, that's an interesting, good tie-in, Susan, good tie-in. So let's take a little digression right now for just a moment and talk about that. If you are fully experiencing your emotions, if you're open to, when you're sad, expressing it, this doesn't mean that you, if you're having a horrible, horrible day, that you go up to every single person you meet and tell them how sad you are. This means you experience the emotions yourself. You don't have to go dump on everybody. But if you're open to experience the emotions, then your chakras are going to be open. They are going to help you. You can tell if you're closed because you'll start to feel a little numb to things. You might not laugh as much. You might not recognize that if you have a little problem that you can make an adjustment and change it. If you're willing to, even the intention of just being open to keep you open, it's actually very simple, isn't it? If you set an intention that, yes, I'm going to be open, and you breathe that openness, then you will be open. I can tell when I'm very open because I feel empowered. I feel I can do the things I want to do. I feel like I can handle my problems. that doesn't mean if I get a really big one, I'm not going to have a huge emotional reaction first, but I move faster through those reactions. So I don't get stuck in them. I keep going through it. I recognize it and I keep moving. Sometimes, of course, now I do want to digress from my digression, is if you have something really huge that happens, gigantic, sometimes you just have to wait. You have to wait and allow yourself to process whatever is happening. This, my words of speaking, my speaking here of moving through the emotions, feeling them, being open to them, letting them wash over you if they have to, doesn't mean you will move through them in 1 minute. Okay? It just means you're going to experience them in your own pace because we are all individuals. We are all unique in how we handle our problems and how we handle our emotions. So the intention of staying open helps. The intention of experiencing your emotions so that you can live fully and completely helps. When you do this, it can be very cleansing. It can help you process grief. So if you have lost someone, and you still have some grief from that. And of course, as we know, grief has its own timetable. The grief honors the love you have for another person. If you can take that grief and instead think, you know when you think, this is so horrible, I'm never going to feel better, I can't believe they're gone, I wish they would come back, you're stuck in the grief. Okay, that's being stuck in the grief. If you can start to shift the grief, and I'm not telling you to just release it, get rid of it, ignore it, not that, no. But if you can shift it and recognize that that grief is honoring the other person, it raises your vibration up so that you understand that the grief is good. It's a good thing. You're honoring the other person, the animal, if you had an animal pass. It honors what we've lost. Same thing if you've lost a job, you've lost your house, or if you've got a new house and that causes some stress and some change as well. That can set us off and just make us a little uncomfortable there. So this helps us move into thinking about ourselves and how we can learn and grow. I went to this workshop once, quite some time ago. It was called The Shadow Process, and it was with Debbie Ford. And if you haven't heard about Debbie Ford, do Google her. She did pass on, unfortunately, but she has some amazing books that are out there and a wonderful person. I started following her, if you will, when I read The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. I found it in a bargain bin for, $3.99 or something, and that book was stunning to me. Talked about recognizing the shadows within ourselves, the parts of ourselves that we deny, the parts of ourselves that we ignore, and we try to pretend that we're not nasty people. We try to pretend that I'm not a jerk, that stuff. So this was all about accepting all of you, your everything, your shadows, your negatives, your positives. Accept every part of you and love every part of you. Great book. So I went to the workshop, The Shadow Process. Now, one of the exercises we did there was about confronting a belief that we had. We used it for some other things too, but for this example, I'm going to talk about confronting a belief we had, somehow that we weren't good enough, that we weren't deserving of love for whatever reason. And in this workshop, we split up into groups of 4 or 5 people, and one person would go first and state their fear, their worst belief about themselves. And what would happen is they would start to feel the emotion that was attached to that belief. Now, we were all a little bit nervous about this because as we're looking around the room and there were a lot of people there in our little small groups, you can see people are nervous about being in front of other people, telling them their worst fear about themselves, worst belief about themselves, and then being afraid of what's going to happen. And these people wanted to get to the bottom of their concerns so much that they were willing to put themselves out there in front of other people and say what they need to say. So what would happen is people would say, now there was one person I'm thinking in particular who said that she thought she was a bad mother. So in this exercise, she would say, I am a bad mother. And we would all repeat back to her, you are a bad mother. She go, I am a bad mother. You are a bad mother. Now, believe me, it was a very interesting experience, because what would happen, this person who's saying, I am a bad mother, all of a sudden this emotion would come out of her. It was just so strong and gut-wrenching at times, so sad. And then as she stepped into this emotion and just kept feeling it, all of a sudden something changed. It changed, and she recognized that, no, she wasn't a bad mother. She wasn't a bad mother at all. As she was experiencing this emotion cleansed her. It cleansed this belief that was not true for her. At times, as we were doing this and people would switch, these emotions would just be overwhelming, but they would go and pass through and clean out everything. And then we could watch them, and all of a sudden you could see the shift where they recognized that, no, they had held on to a belief for whatever reason that was not true. And it never was true, probably. But they had let them go. They had let this belief go and replaced it with new ones. These people were very brave because they were willing to do this in front of people and willing to become a better person and allow themselves to overcome this fear that they had. These people, we would understand that our beliefs were not true. And as we let them go, it became very transformational for everyone. There were two very important points I took away from this. One is that the anticipation of the emotions was much worse than the actual experience. So when we shut down because we're afraid of experiencing that emotion, we're actually making it worse because we're postponing what is going to happen. At some point, those emotions are going to come out. And we're postponing it, resisting it, denying it, ignoring it. And we're worried and we start to get all worked up about it. But when you step into that emotion, it's not nearly as bad as you think it's going to be. And that intensity of emotion gives way to a peace. It gives way to understanding and a calmness that helps you recognize that, yes, it's okay. We protect ourselves because of the fear of that. The other thing that I noticed after this workshop is that it is possible to change your perspectives, change your beliefs, change your thoughts. It is possible that what we believe to be true is not true. It's possible that there is a better way of thinking, that we can pick a different way of living our lives. Through experiencing the emotions of our beliefs, being open to them, that allows us to move to a different place. We need to be open to our emotions. Now, at times I feel like a hypocrite talking about some of the things I talk about here, because there are times where I still will shut down and not say the things that I should say, usually because I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. But I'm well aware of that, and I've gotten much better at trying to do it as clearly as possible. Life being adventure means we have to live true to ourselves. We have to be open to learning about ourselves, and that includes feeling the emotions. For me, when I say I don't always say everything I should say, I know that's a part of me, and I recognize it and I accept it. Okay, so I'm not going to deny it and say, no, I don't do that. I do that. And I'm working to make it better. And I've found that just the awareness of that makes it easier for me to bring up tougher conversations. Now, when I'm talking about this, I want to make sure you do understand. And anytime I talk about emotions, I always say this. You must experience them. You can live happier just by being aware of your emotions, okay? You can live happier because you understand the good, the bad, the ups and the downs. Your emotions show you where you might be stuck. So if someone's a jerk to you, okay, let's just say somebody's a jerk, a friend, whatever. They're a jerk to you. They've hurt your feelings. They've been mean to you. It's totally irrational, illogical. You don't understand why this person is saying these hurtful things to you. You don't understand why this person is a jerk. You don't understand what you could have possibly done to upset this person so much. Okay, so you've got that emotion going on. So now you're defensive because you feel like you're being attacked, and you are. You are upset because you start to think, maybe I did something and I don't know I did something. I need to fix that. So you want to fix it. You want to make it better. So if you look at these emotions, you can start to see that maybe you might be a people pleaser. Okay, you want to make other people happy. You want to make sure they're okay. You might be a little bit of a perfectionist. You're taking blame for something that has nothing to do with you. That also goes with people pleasing, of course. You get defensive because inside, deep inside of you, you have this belief that you're not good enough. And here is this person pointing it out to you, okay, that you're not good enough in their eyes. Okay, so these are your emotions can lead you to learning about yourself. So the next time somebody is a jerk to you, just figure out what your emotion is. Think about it for a minute. Try not to step into it so far that you can't think logically at all. Step into it a little bit and say, okay, I'm feeling like I'm being judged. I'm feeling like I'm defensive. I feel like my feelings are hurt and I feel like I'm not good enough. And acknowledge those feelings, because once you acknowledge them, you're starting to get the process of how the emotions work, how they take you out of the area where you're stuck and move you back into yourself, who you truly are. This helps you become the best version of you. You can't magically become positive without feeling your emotions. Now, the online course that I'm developing, and hopefully I'll be done soon, we'll see, is about these kinds of ideas, following your emotions, seeing where it's taking you, understand they're helping you, understanding the tougher emotions that you have in a difficult situation are just there to help you learn about yourself. The adventure of life is pretty cool. When you think about it, if you can wake up with some gratitude for being here, number one, you woke up in the morning. Gratitude for being here, that's a great thing to start with, isn't it? And that you can do whatever you want. You can choose to have the freedom to experience your emotions or not. You can choose to deny your emotions and stay there. You can choose to protect yourself or decide you want to live fully and openly and have the best life you possibly can. A life without emotion. One where you're shut down, protecting yourself, isn't very adventurous. It's also not as much fun because in an adventure, we're willing to step into new ideas. We want to go experience new things, explore new paths. And if life is an adventure, we're willing to step into the risk of stepping out of our comfort zone, stepping out of our habits of living the way we live. Take a risk. Go with the emotion. See what happens. I guarantee you, you will not get stuck in the emotion. Allow it to come up and out and see what happens. You might try doing that little exercise I talked about. Do it all on your own without people helping you. Just kind of think about something and see what comes up. If you start to deny the feeling, go there. If you start to feel a little teary, that means go there. If you start to feel your body tenses up, that means you need to go there. Go in there and see what it is. So don't wait to live a life that is full of adventure. Be open now. So that is what I wanted to talk about today, because you know me, I like to talk about ideas that can help you improve your life. And that one struck me because there have been a couple of people around me more lately who are definitely shut down. And it's quite a struggle sometimes. So I think what we'll do is we should take some callers, shouldn't we? So let's tell you again why you can call. You can call in if you want a brief mediumship reading. You can call in if you want to talk about a problem you have and maybe want some spiritual life coaching. You can call in if you have a question about spirituality, mediumship, healing, metaphysics, chakras, things like that. You can call in and ask about that, and I'll just tell you my opinions. These are always only my opinions. You take what you want, do what you want with it. If you don't like it, don't take it. You can also call in if you want to talk about this topic, the adventure of life. If you have a good story, I would love to hear it. I love to hear good stories. So what I usually do is I just kind of look at your telephone numbers and then kind of go with whichever one feels right to me. So if you want to call in again, that's the number is 818-739-8818. And I will pick you based on your last four numbers of your telephone number. So when I click on you, just tell me your name and then we'll go from there. So let's see, who do we want to go to? Let's go to this one. The number, the last four numbers are 6016. 6016. Hello, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Tanika.
Janita?
Yes, Tanika.
Okay, I love it. I love it. So how can I help you today?
I wanted to see if you could give me some insight into my love life, love and relationship life, since it's Valentine's Day soon.
I know. And yeah, in, you know, I do another show, another radio show on Thursday night, which is Valentine's Day. And I'm going to be talking about loving ourselves rather than being focused on the external. So that will be a fun show to catch. So yeah, very interesting. Would you happen to have a man on the other side who would have had some kind of breathing issues where he can't quite get enough breath? Before he passes, I'm feeling pressure in my chest, but I feel like I can't get enough air. This man feels like when he passes that he may be of a more significant age in his 70s or 80s. Do you have a man like that you can recognize?
I think that was my father's father, my grandfather. I didn't know him that well. Towards the end of his life is when I met him, but I think that he had passed away from something to do with that.
Okay. Yeah, and he does feel a bit on the older side. He's kind of old school, I must say. Is he a person, can you verify this, somebody who is kind of a stickler for how we do things and how things should be done, related more to tradition, stereotypes, that kind of thing? Would you happen to know that?
I think so. I think he was like that.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because he's not coming through as somebody who's a real, how can I put this, attached to emotions, you know, where they would tell everybody all the time they love them all the time. I do feel him getting softer with that as he gets older, though, and being more open with it, particularly when he's younger. He's not like that. Now, he tells me that you are quite intelligent. He says that you look at things from such good perspectives that you can figure out problems. Would you say that you're good at those things?
Yes.
Okay. And there's a great deal of pride that comes through towards you. He wants to acknowledge how smart you are. He gives me the impression he didn't get as much education as he would have liked. And for him, it's important to have that intelligence. And he wants to acknowledge that. That makes him very happy and makes him proud. He tells me, though, sometimes you do get stuck into a little bit of a worrying mode. Do you get into that little, I call it crazy brain, where we start thinking too much and worrying?
Yes, that's true.
Yes, okay. And as he's talking about that, he does also give me the impression that you have learned more about kind of going with the flow rather than trying to control everything. It's not always easy, but he's telling me you've been trying to get into that more. Have you been trying to step out of the worry and just kind of relax a little bit with that?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, good. And he, the way he acknowledges that, I know it's still probably a struggle at times, but you're making progress, and he wants to acknowledge that because he says sometimes you do beat yourself up a little bit too and kind of put yourself down a little bit. Do you do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he's mentioning that. And he says not to do that because, interesting. Okay. He just said if you could see yourself through his eyes, you would see how wonderful you are and how far you've already come. And it's important for him to acknowledge how far you've come as a person and all of that. Now, are you in a relationship now or no?
There's someone that I have feelings for. His name is Frank. I know his date of birth. We work at the same job, and it's like we're always off and then on and off and on. And I have feelings for him. I don't know how he feels about me, so that's why I'm not putting any pressure for Valentine's Day or anything. But we've been sort of seeing each other, then we're off, and then we're on again. So right now we're on good terms with each other, sort of. But, you know, I think I have more feelings for him than he does for me. I really don't know where this is going or anything, but I would love to have a nice Valentine's Day with him.
Yeah, because your grandfather on the other side, you know, when he's talking about this, he's giving me a feeling of, how can I put this? It's like you're limiting yourself to that idea, to that person. He's given me the impression that there's actually someone else around you who is interested in you. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. And he's also given me the impression that you're really not aware of that. Do you know that there's somebody else interested in you?
No, I mean, there was, like, a kid at my job. His name is Kenny. He's, like, a younger kid, and he's totally not my type. He's very immature, and he's not anyone I would look at like that. Another one, other than that, is doctors. And then there's guys I used to date that still try to contact me. They don't work at my job, but they weren't available emotionally when, you know, I was interested in having a relationship with them. So they still try to contact me here, but they don't work at my job. So they were bad for me, too.
Okay.
I don't know who this person could be.
Well, it doesn't have to necessarily be somebody at your job, because he's telling me that there's somebody else who's interested in you. Okay. And he's more concerned about you deciding what you want, deciding what kind of relationship you want to have. So I'm going to move out of mediumship mode for a minute and move into coaching mode. And this is something that I tell some of my coaching clients when they're looking for a relationship, and I've used this for myself, is to make that list of what we're looking for in a relationship. Write it down. Because when we write it down, it's more real. And also, we've got to decide what we're looking for. So many times, if we're not consciously aware of what we want, we just go, oh, I want to be with somebody who loves me, and that's all I need. Well, yes, you can find somebody who loves you, but they could be a stalker. So you want to make sure you know exactly what you're looking for. If you're looking for somebody with a good sense of humor, if you're looking for somebody who's going to be there for you no matter what happens, if you're sick, somebody you can call in the middle of the night if a bat gets in your house, you want to know exactly what kind of person you want. Now, back into mediumship mode, the impression I'm getting is that this person that you're on and off with has potential there. However, there's so much limbo land that it's almost as though you're a convenience in a sense. And I don't mean to make that sound harsh. But it's almost like you're a convenience. If I'm in the mood, and, you know, then we can hang out and it's all good. And so there's a lack of commitment that I'm feeling that this man is telling me about. Obviously, if you're back and forth, there isn't much of a commitment. Basically the message he's giving me is to make sure you know what you want and to keep your eyes open for other possibilities as well. They don't have to be people you work with, and sometimes it's better if they're not, because then we don't, you know, it could be a problem later on. So there's that feeling. So you do what you want to do. If you want to do something Thursday night with this man, ask him and go do something. And this person on the other side, your grandfather, is sending you lots of love. And he says you're quite smart, so you'll be able to figure out what it is you're looking for exactly. So as soon as you're very aware of that, that's going to help bring it to you. Whether it's the person you see on and off, or if it's a whole new person, I'm not sure. So we'll have to see. You know, the predictions are always a little bit tricky, because we can see possibilities. Sometimes they're on, sometimes it depends on your actions and what's going to happen, of course. So, Janita, I suppose I should stop talking to you, because I will go on and on all night long. You'll be here forever. So I want to thank you so much. This man on the other side is telling me how much he loves you again, and he's saying it was very nice talking to you. Before you go, though, do you happen to have a cross necklace?
Yes, a little faux silver one that I wear.
Okay, because all of a sudden he just showed that to me. Okay, so sometimes they'll just show me something like that to just acknowledge, you know, what's going on that we're talking. So I just want to make sure I mention that to you and that, you know, we're aware of that. Okay, well, thank you, Janita. It was so nice talking to you. You have a good night.
Thanks. Thank you. You too.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye. And that was Janita. It was so interesting, isn't it? Ah, let's see what we've got. Hi, Tiffany. Oh, frozen Minnesota. Yes. I'm down in Florida. It's all good. So what we're going to do, Interesting. Okay. I thought first I had a spirit coming in, but I'm not sure. No, I might. I'm going to take another caller. I'll take another caller. Let's see what number grabs my attention here. How about this one? 7082.
Hello. How are you today?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. What's your first name?
I was just Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany. And how can I help you today?
I was just wondering if anybody's, like, coming through, like,
there
like
what?
Any spirits or anything.
Any messages.
Like, any messages or.
Okay, let's see what we got. I do have a man, and we'll see if this goes with you or if it's going to go with somebody else. You just never know what's going to happen these days. I do have a man here, and when he's stepping in, I'm getting the impression of his actions helped him cross over. So when I get that, it could be suicide, it could be overdose, it could be something he does that helped him cross over. He feels a little bit older to me, 40, 50, so it's not like a young kid. It doesn't feel like a young kid. Would you happen to know a man who would have done something somehow, suicide, drug overdose, something like this, that would have helped him cross to the other side?
No.
Okay, and I may have it for somebody who's watching me live. So hold on, I'm just going to make a note so I don't forget, because when this happens, I don't know what I'm doing, so I won't remember anything I said.
Or maybe somebody in the room that I'm in right now, like my friend who did have somebody pass over.
Okay, and would it have been from something like that?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and would he have been like 40s or so?
No.
How old?
I don't know, like 20.
20. Let me describe him and let's see what we've got. I've got somebody on Facebook saying it could be them. Let me describe this person, because there's a feeling of what happens when I get suicide or overdose, that kind of thing, is my whole body just kind of shuts down. My head starts to feel really strange. This guy's an interesting
guy. Yeah, she was a female. So it was someone else. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's definitely not. Okay. So that's not going to work. So hold on. Rebecca, you hold on line, and I'm just going to give her a quick message here. Tiffany, a quick message, and then I'll get to you, Rebecca. Okay. And we'll see if it goes with you. Now, would you happen to have a woman who passes on the other side who had something wrong with the heart, like a valve or something like this? I don't know much about my body.
No.
Okay. I've got a woman on the other side who has something wrong with the heart. The way she comes through, she feels very grandmotherly. She's also giving me the problem of kidneys, lower back, that kind of issue back there as well. I'm wondering about the hips. If there's a hip issue, I feel like I can't walk as clearly, as easily, I should say, rather than clearly. I can't walk as easily. So keep this in mind, what I'm saying. Okay, so the message that's coming through for you is a very interesting one, because I feel like I want to be smoothing things over with you. Are there some issues happening around you that you need to be smoothing things?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to be smoothing things and making them better. It feels like there's a lot of ups and downs around you, a lot of emotions, a lot of blaming, victim energy. I don't know if you're blaming somebody or somebody's blaming you, but there's blame and victim energy going back and forth and back and forth. People aren't thinking so clearly, and there's somebody who's being rather, how can I put this, manipulative, I guess is a good word. Do you have somebody around you who's like lying, not truthful, trying to make you do something or make somebody do something?
Yes.
Great. That's not fun. the energy about this is the person on the other side is not very happy with it, by the way, because she gives me the impression that that's not how it should be. Okay. Is this a family problem? Like,
yes.
Have a problem? Okay. Nah, bummer. I was hoping you'd say no. Because it feels like this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Our families are supposed to get along, blah, 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 all that stuff. And it seems like somebody's being really quite irrational and not really, how can I say this too? Well, they're just kind of crazy, okay? So now it's very important for people to separate themselves as much as possible here, okay? I feel like I want to tell you to step back. Try to get out of this. I almost feel like you're drowning in quicksand here, that there's just so much going on around you. You don't know what to do and how to get out of this. And by that, I mean how to handle it, okay? I want you to take a little step back and just kind of take a breather. Try not to get sucked in. Are you getting sucked into this stuff?
A little bit.
Oh, okay. Try not to. So try to stay back as far as possible. Somebody else is getting the brunt of this as well, and there is the message of don't take anything personally, just don't take things personally. If you're taking things personally, that's what gets our emotions going, and we go crazy, and you know, it's horrible. So we want to make sure we're protecting our own energy is what she's saying. There is a feeling of disappointment coming in here that this is the way it is, but you can't control another person's path. So you have to make sure you're doing what you have to do to protect yourself, okay, as much as possible. Did somebody steal money?
Yes.
Ah, bummer. Because all of a sudden that came through. There's a stealing of money. And, boy, there's all sorts of stuff. You got a lot of stuff going on with this. I don't know how deep into this you are, but there's a lot of stuff happening. I just heard one for all for one. So what does that mean? One for all for one. So protect yourself. Find your like-minded people, the people who can support you. Thank you. Okay. The people who can support you. You need the people who can support you to help you. So make sure you're doing that. Wow. There's a lot of stuff going on there. So you, Tiffany, the biggest, most important thing to do is to protect your energy as much as possible. Okay. Don't take things personally that have nothing to do with you. Don't take on other people's worries. Try not to get sucked into the he said, she said. Don't get sucked into that. Because it's just not worth it. I understand that this problem has been going on for a bit of time, and I understand this problem is going to keep going on for a bit longer. So you've got to protect yourself. That's the big thing here. Okay, Tiffany, I guess I could let you go too, but that was very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Good luck with all that. I'll be sending you some positive energy.
And
thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye. Yeah, so Rebecca, I do want to go back to you. So Rebecca, just communicate with me through Facebook as I'm going. So I've got this man, and he feels like he's middle, I'm going to say middle-aged, even though 40 to me is not really middle-aged. So 30s, 40s, maybe 50s, but there's a young energy about him. And I do feel there's that action that causes his passing that's connected to him crossing over. It's interesting because I get an up and down with him. I feel like, and sometimes people say, oh, yeah, well, you know, if they commit suicide or they overdose or whatever, they're like that. But that's not true. But with this one, I feel like he can be so charming and so wonderful and apparently good looking, particularly when he's younger. But it's almost like sometimes he turns into a different person. Does he turn into a different person? Yeah, so it's interesting because he can be awesome. He can just be so awesome. But then it's weird. It's literally like he turns and turns into a different person. And I feel an impatience there, and I feel a little bit of, I want to say, biting. Oh, bipolar. Okay. That makes sense, doesn't it? I want to say biting. Okay. And I thought I was going to talk about sarcasm. Could he be sarcastic? But I'm also wondering if there's something to do with biting, because sometimes the words will come through and it's not the meaning I'm feeling it is. So I want to say biting. I've got sarcastic and something that has to do with this. Okay, you understand. He could be sarcastic. And is there anything that has to do with biting? It's really interesting. Did he ever do one of those like shock treatment things
I don't know much about that except from what I've seen on TV, basically. But all of a sudden, I was getting that impression. I wondered if there was something that had to do with that. Either way, he does want to apologize to you because he says it was quite a challenge for you. He says you're very sweet. You're very lovely. You have a high tolerance. You put up with a lot. And you really went all in. And in the beginning, it was great. It was wonderful. And, you know, you knew this was it. This was wonderful. And then it kind of had some issues as time got going. And he wants to apologize for that because he says you threw some tests there. And finally, you basically had to stand up for yourself, he's telling me. There is a lot of love there. Interesting. Who's the writer? Who writes? I want to be writing. I feel like you've still got some of his papers, even though I know he's your ex, but I feel like you still have some things. Did you keep some of that stuff from the beginning of your relationship and all of that? It was good until alcohol took over his life and you left. Yes, you did take control and took your power back, didn't you? If your daughter's a writer, I want to be writing, and I feel like there are things there. Very interesting. Does your daughter have a bit of a tendency to be dramatic and feel things deeply as well? Your daughter is your writer. How wonderful. Does your daughter feel things very deeply as well? She doesn't feel like him. I'm not getting the big ups and downs, but I do feel emotion. I feel like I can have some drama at times. She's very smart. Speaking of intelligence, she is very smart and very dramatic. Okay. She's one of those quick thinkers, and she sees things from such an interesting angle. She really sees things from cool angles, different. But she is a feeler, too. And, boy, she can be passionate. If she's really passionate about something, she'll get going on it. And she really stands up for some of her beliefs, too, wanting to make sure that there's fairness out there. She's very dramatic and expresses herself through writing and drawing. Okay. And yeah, she wants to, and it's a good thing she does that too, because that does help her process things and get out there. Do you happen to know if she has a, what do I want to say? A group or something that she helps? I want to be writing for a cause right now. I want to be writing for a cause. And I also want to know if she's a big supporter of, the LGBTQ, if she's a big supporter of that. Because I feel like she has a friend close to her who is gay, and I feel a passion for fairness and equality. Okay, so there is that. She loves people, an advocate for discrimination. Okay, thank you. Yes, I know. He was very happy when she was born, wasn't he? This love that's coming through is so strong. And don't y'all worry, I'll just go until I'm done. I'm going to turn my phone down, though, so I don't have to listen to Miss Blog Talk tell me how many seconds I have left. Because he's telling me when she's born, I want to give her a hug. I feel, from his perspective, I feel that I'm so proud. I feel like, okay, I can handle everything, that kind of feeling. He feels empowered, all of that, and he loves this. And Rebecca's saying, yes, that's her passion. Awesome. Now we go back to the other things I was just saying. And he's so proud of her because she does follow her dream, does follow her passion, does follow the things she wants to do. And do you happen to know if she has a picture of him and her when she's young? Okay. You felt that way with each of them, you three. Awesome. Okay. And I want to know about a picture of him with a younger version of the daughter here. And I think we're talking about the writer for some reason. They must have been very similar in some ways, I would think, because there is such a love coming through here and such a feeling of connection. He could also be emphasizing her because there may be something that's going on in her life now, and he just wants to acknowledge her. He's, Okay. He's telling me you did a really great job with your daughters. You were there. Now she has a few of them on the wall in her room, the pictures. Okay. And the, okay. And he says you did such a great job with them because you were there for them. You've been very good about supporting them, but not being overbearing, you know, not being too into it. Quite a few similarities. Awesome. And he's acknowledging that with a feeling of love towards you. And I know he's your ex, but at the same time, the love is still there. He recognizes you having to step into your power to do what you have to do to protect yourself and apparently people around you as well. And he does apologize for all the crap he put you through. And yes, again, he's using a different word there. And he says, Okay. He says he's very much enjoying watching what's happening in life now. Now, here's a random thing, and I love random things when they come in. I'm seeing stones. They look like stones that you might use for either paving, you know, like landscape stones, or stones you might use to build a stone wall or something like this. So I have these stones that I'm seeing. Let me know if you understand what this is, because I don't. Sometimes I'll get random things come in, and it's always funny when they come in to find out if they actually make sense, because I'm going, okay, paving stones, some kind of stones. They're not very big, so they're, you know, like, what is that, 3-4 inches thick, and you would just pile them or put them in different places. So anyway, let me know if that makes any sense to you. But he is showing me that. So it makes me wonder if somebody was doing some landscaping or something like this. Okay, grandkids yet? All of a sudden I want to be talking about little ones. So there's a mention of little ones. If you don't have any, I won't get into predicting, but I'm seeing little ones. He can be fun. You know, when he's here and he's charming and all of that, he can be fun. And he loves playing with the kids and all of that wonderful stuff there. Yes, lots of love there. Okay, now, I don't want to keep talking forever. Final words of wisdom you want to have? Okay. He just wants to let you know, no, I do have two little ones from another marriage. Okay. That's okay, because I'm seeing little kids, so that's awesome. So just remember, we said that, and yeah, part of it's because he would be good with kids, you know, having the fun and playing, and you're the same way. You like to have fun with the kids. You have a good time with them. Okay. So he just wants me to let you know how much he is basically watching over everybody. He's keeping tabs, if you will, checking to see what's going on with everybody. And he appreciates everybody who is still talking to him, okay? So you can pass these messages on to your kids and let them know and see if they're feeling him. There's one more thing. One more thing. Does someone have intestinal or bowel issues in your family? And I'm still talking to Rebecca, okay? So there's something with intestinal bowel issues. And I'm getting the impression from him it may have something to do with what they're eating. You know, I'm not a doctor. I can't diagnose nor prescribe any of that stuff. But you can feel a little bit of something like that going on. I feel it's watching over us, and I do share with my girls that they should speak to him. Perfect, Rebecca, perfect. Okay, so I suppose I should wrap this up. I'm a little bit over, but not too bad. Apparently, this has become the new norm. I just keep it talking. So, Rebecca, it was so nice talking to you and your ex-husband on the other side. Lots of love coming through, and apologies as well. there. And for those of you who are watching and just joined in fairly recently, this is a Lily Dale Radio, and we are live streaming on my Facebook page, which you can follow if you have not yet, Colleen Vanderzijden, Medium and Self-Empowerment Coach. You are most welcome, Rebecca. You can also find more information on my website, which is ColleenVanderzijden.com, and if that's too hard, try psychicmediumcolleen.com. That's a quick link that'll take you right there. And I do have a free download there, the 3 Keys to Happiness. If you sign up for my mailing list, you will get that. It's about a 4-page ebook on the three keys to happiness, how to have a happier life. And you can check lilydaleassembly.org to find out more information about Lilydale Assembly, as well as the upcoming workshops that are pre-season starting in March, which is next month. Can you believe it? Lisa's brave to do a workshop in March. It could still be snowing. So we're going to pray that it's not, and it'll be nice, easy weather. So I want to thank you all for watching and listening. Thank you, Sue. So nice to see you again. And next week, we will be live again. And you can call in to ask questions, and apparently you can also get a reading through Facebook, because that's what I've been doing for a few weeks. Every now and then I get a spirit and we just go with whatever's happening. So you can ask questions there as well. So you can call in or you can ask questions. Okay, I will stop talking. You know me. Talk, talk, talk. So you guys have a wonderful week, and